Hi friends, I just want to take a quick moment to tell you about Anchor. Now, if you're an aspiring podcaster or have friends who've started their own podcast, then you've probably heard your fair share of ads on Anchor. Maybe you're even a little bit skeptical like I was at first. I mean, is anything really free when you're creating a podcast? Well, let me tell you firsthand, Anchor is the way to go. Anchor FM really gives you everything you need to start a podcast. You can record directly on there or upload your files, easily edit your recordings from your phone or computer, and if you don't have anyone to produce the music for your podcast, they even give you access to music from Spotify that you can use without copyright infringement and select your own. I mean, how easy is that? Not only can you do all this, but you can upload onto all streaming services directly from Anchor. If you're hesitant about starting your podcast and all the how-to stuff, Anchor makes it 10 times easier for you with clear instructions from the get-go on how to start your podcast and even advises you on how you can make money with it. And it's free. So really, you can't lose here, and I love that for you. It's helped me in my podcast creation journey, and I know it can be the same for you. Download the Anchor app or go to anchor.fm right now and start that journey. That's anchor.fm. Hello and welcome to the Dress in Splendor podcast. Luke 12:27 states, "Look at how the wildflowers grow. They do not labor or spin, yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these." Our mission here is to share stories from men and women that can help you learn how to stop laboring or striving after what you want to accomplish, but rather to trust in your heavenly creator to guide you in your everyday life. If he has a plan for you, he will make a way. All he wants is our daily yes to him and for us to stop worrying about what tomorrow will bring. If we can do that, then we, as children made in his image, can be dressed in even grander splendor than the beautiful wildflowers of the field. I'm your host, Lydia Summer, and I'm so glad you're here today. Today on our podcast, I'm joined by student ministries leader Jimmy Houck, who serves in Peoria, Illinois at Bethany Baptist Church. Jimmy has been faithfully serving in this role for 3 years now, and his heart loves and is truly dedicated to the souls in the youth group. He desires for all to know Jesus and to have a strong foundation in God's Word. In this episode of Learning More About the Nearness and Presence of Yahweh, Jimmy and I chat about the abstract and concrete ways that he applies in order to draw near to his Heavenly Father. We also chat about one very specific way that Jimmy knew that God's presence was real through a very interesting event that occurred while he was serving in mission overseas. There's a lot to unpack in this episode, and I can't wait for you to hear it. Welcome to the Dress in Splendor podcast. Let's get started. Hey friends, I'm very happy to introduce you to you on our show, someone whom I have grown to respect and honor so much over the past year of us knowing one another. He oversees the high school student body and he's the student ministries leader, Jimmy Houck. He is joining us today to talk about our topic we've been diving into on the nearness and presence of Yahweh. I'm excited to have his thoughts on the subject as well as hearing his testimonies as it pertains to this topic. So without further ado, Jimmy, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Lydia. Great to be with you.
Of course. Well, I know that you're more than just a youth group pastor, so could you just share a little bit more about yourself for those listening?
Sure. So I am a youth pastor at Bethany Baptist Church here in Peoria, Illinois, but I'm also a dad of three beautiful little kids. I've been married for 8 years, so I'm also a husband. I'm a brother, I'm a son. I'm a friend, and most importantly, I'm a disciple of Jesus Christ.
Thank you for sharing that. Can you tell us a little bit about how you came to know Jesus and accept him as your Savior?
Yeah, absolutely. So I grew up in a Christian home. My mom and dad taught me the Bible as early as I can remember. I was always involved in church. I can't remember a time that I didn't think with all my heart that there was a God and that his son was Jesus and that he had died on the cross for my sins. But I wouldn't say that was necessarily saving. So for me, knowledge became, you know, things that I knew and was taught became real. I think between my freshman, well, my eighth and ninth grade years, I was at a little camp in Saugatuck, Michigan called Camp Pine Trail. And I could have told you the gospel before that. And I had prayed a prayer before that summer. But I think that it was that summer as the Lord revealed, what he did is he revealed the reality of grace to me in a new and fresh way that really captured my heart. And I remember Romans 8:1, that promise that there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus was really significant for me. And the concept of God viewing me always with his Son, and therefore the pleasure and the joy that he had in his Son always being something that was shared with me once I was with Christ, it blew me out of the water, you know. The idea that on my worst days, as a middle schooler, I'd gotten tangled up in pornography and was super embarrassed about that. And that was a big part of my life that was kind of hidden and nasty. And to realize that God could love me even on the day that I had looked at something like pornography, with the love that he had for his Son, that was possible, that kind of unconditional relationship, it changed everything for me.
Wow.
So I would say that was that experience at camp and those truths coming home to my heart was, I think that's when I began a real relationship with the Lord Jesus.
That's great. Praise God for that.
Yeah, I do. Yeah, he and Jesus has been a really faithful master ever since.
Yeah.
So through thick and thin.
Do you think that you understood the concept of what it meant to draw near to God before you became a Christian? Or do you think there was a moment in time after you became a Christian that you actually made a conscious decision to draw near to him more?
Yeah, that's a really interesting question. I actually think I understood before my heart was changed, or before I had this experience. I think there's ways of just growing up in a Christian home that I understood that the Bible was really important, that like God was to be experienced in his word, among his people, that God could be spoken to through faithful prayer. I understood all of those things, and you know, and I had moments, and I think that's why it can be a little confusing as to like when was I truly born again, because I do have memories of trying to draw near to God as the best that I understood through reading the Bible and praying and involving myself in Christian community, and long before I felt like I became alive, if that makes sense.
Yeah, for sure.
So
yeah, I remember before I was a Christian, I thought I was already a Christian, and I mentioned this in another episode, but I think there's a difference in having grown up in a Christian family and going through the motions and doing it because you see it as an example, but actually then, you know, because I know that when I was 8 years old and I did the prayer, like I knew that I was saved, but it wasn't really my own faith until later years, and I rededicated my life so many times in high school because, you know, I think the legalistic way of like, I sinned again, like I shouldn't have done that, and but then having like a deeper understanding once you get into the word and he becomes more alive to you when you actually, you're not just going through the motions, but you're actually doing this in an effort to actually want to draw near and know him more.
There are, I think, transcendent means of drawing near to God that really aren't effective until God himself, I think, chooses to graciously give us life, right? So, and I think that's what I had experienced. Maybe that's what you experienced too, is like you grew up in a family where you knew the means, right? And they're, I think they're transcendent means. I think that there are ways that God has given us to draw near to him, whether we are, you know, living in 2022 when this is being recorded, or 202, you know, or, you know, whether we're Christians in China, Papua New Guinea, Madagascar, or Peoria, Illinois. I think there are transcendent means that he's given us, but those means, it really does require his grace and in his initiative, I believe, before they're really going to be effective.
That's true.
So,
well, so what are some ways that you actually, now that you play an active part along with God in terms of your relationship with him?
Yeah.
Like, what are some ways that you draw near to him?
Yeah, that's what a great question. So there's three verses that kind of came to mind. And so in answering your question, I wanted to give you some, like, abstract answers.
Yeah.
And then I'll give you, like, some concrete, like, examples of fleshing out those answers. But, like, the first passage that I thought I would read in response to that, that's one of my – I love that question, is it's Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 through 20. If you don't mind, I'd love to just read that.
Yeah, please do.
Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 through 20. Like a good preacher, I'm repeating my passage for you, Lydia.
Yes, please.
It says this. It says, "Therefore, brethren, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he inaugurated for us through the veil, that is his flesh. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith." I'll pause there. The whole paragraph's fantastic to continue to read. But so the first way that I draw near to God is through the person and work of his son. Now, what does that mean? Well, what it means is that for me to truly draw near to God, I need to be convinced of his love for me, and I need to be convinced of who he is. But I often will tell students that I'm mentoring that, like, one of the maybe the most important thing for you to do each day is to awaken your heart to the love of God again, you know, each and every day. And so that happens for me when the cross becomes real to me again. And the cross and the resurrection become real to me again. And so practically that often looks like communion. Communion is such a powerful time of celebrating, as people have celebrated for 2,000 years, the possibility of entering into a relationship, a covenant relationship with the Almighty God that is unconditional. You know, the new covenant that that was started in the blood of Christ. And so communion is a way to celebrate that. It's a way for me to truly, through Christ, draw near to God. So that would be one way that I draw near to God. One of my favorite authors, Martin Lloyd-Jones, preachers, I think maybe the greatest preacher in the 20th century, Martin Lloyd-Jones, he talked often in his book on spiritual depression. He talked about the need to preach the gospel to ourselves.
Yeah.
And that's my number one way of drawing near to God. I preach the gospel to myself. I remind myself of who he is, his holiness. Mm-hmm. I remind myself of my own sin, my desperate need for him, my helplessness to really do anything apart from him, but then his total ability to give me an identity that's really good.
Yeah.
It's really wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
His love for me, his promises, all of those things. And then a second passage, like how I draw near God, it's been recently on my mind this month. It comes from Psalm 124, verse 8. Mm-hmm. So I'll read that to you as well. Psalm 124, verse 8 says this. It says, "Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth." And so that is a really interesting passage, because it could easily go in one ear and out the other. Our help is in the name of the Lord. Okay.
Yeah.
What does that mean? But, you know, for the ancient, for most ancient peoples, the name was really like the essence of the person. So I think it's helpful, so that it has some kind of meaning for us as 21st century creatures, people, it's helpful for us to remember that when the Bible talks about the name of God, it's a short form way of referencing all of his attributes, all of his perfections, all of his works, and maybe we might even say his revealed will itself, like all of those things that make up what is the essence of the divine, of God, right? That's name, you know, and there's things that God is and there's things that God's not, right? And so the things that he is, that's all actually part of his name, right? And so how then is his name, how does it help us? It helps me draw near to him, his name, his very name, his very essence. It helps me draw near to him. So I draw near to him by reciting in my mind what the scriptures have taught me is true of him. So in this verse, he made heaven and earth. You know, so I can draw near to God through contemplating who he is as creator. And I can draw near to him by contemplating who he is as sustainer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can contemplate who he is as redeemer.
Yeah.
Right? So in redeemer, you know, so he created everything. He keeps things going.
Yeah.
And then even as he has in his providence allowed things to include sin and pain and suffering, he actually redeems and purchases back, you know, to glory and to his original created intent, all things, all things that will last anyways.
Yeah. Wow.
So I draw near through his son, I draw near through his name, and then I draw near to him through his spirit, I think. And so Galatians 5:25 would be like the last. I know I'm a long answer to your question.
No, I'm loving it.
Okay.
Just keep going.
Right, thanks for letting me share. But Galatians 5:25 says, "If we live by the Spirit," and I believe that we do. I believe that on that summer afternoon in a little cabin in Saugatuck, Michigan, I believe the Spirit of God made me come alive through just one more time hearing the gospel, hearing about grace, right? So if we live by the Spirit, it says, let us also walk by the Spirit. And so this is significant because, you know, there's a sense in which I am trying to draw near to God unceasingly, even right now in this moment. I'm trying to draw near to God. Well, how do I do that? Well, He has given me the gift of His Spirit, and so feelings are such powerful things, mm-hmm. and real things, and in my mind and in my feelings and in the things that I love and want, I find within me two realities. There's the reality of my flesh, which no longer defines me, but still makes itself felt, mm-hmm. often. And then there's the reality of my of the Holy Spirit, who lives inside of me. And so I draw near to God by assessing one voice as being like the voice that is evil, mm-hmm. within, yeah. me and wrong, and that voice within me that would lead to my destruction. Mm-hmm. And then I try to assess another voice within me, and it's a voice of light, you know, and it's a voice of biblical love, of it's a voice that leads me to greater pleasure, greater happiness, because it points towards a glory and a purpose that's beyond me, mm-hmm. right? And that's the voice of the Spirit, right? And so how do I the key, I think, for me in determining on a moment-by-moment basis, what voice am I feeling? Mm-hmm. What voice is touching upon my thoughts? The key, the ultimate measuring stick, is the Word of God, mm-hmm. right? So as I am, the Word of God, the Scriptures, the written Word of God, it's the measuring stick, mm-hmm. of all subjective experiences that I have, mm-hmm. right? So because I can get it wrong,
yeah.
I can think I'm hearing the Spirit and I'm not. You know, yeah. I think when we could err in convincing ourselves that any subjective experience or feeling or indication can't be the Spirit. I don't think that's too far. I don't think that's appropriate, mm-hmm. For the Christian who is filled with the Spirit. But all I mean is that I know the Spirit's voice as I know the Word of God, mm-hmm. right? Yeah. And actually, it's circular.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Because I come to know the Word of God by knowing the Spirit's voice.
Yes.
Right? So it is somewhat circular, mm-hmm. and there's, you know, reason, you know, is applied to try to sort through those two influences, the Word of God and the Spirit. But it, you know, it's one writer, Grant Osborne, talks about the hermeneutical spiral, mm-hmm. and that you know, we spend our lives trying to shed our the noetic effects of the sin and our frailty as human beings, our sin, our blinders, our cultural blinders, and I believe that we do that by continually going from Spirit to the Word, Spirit to the Word, mm-hmm. Spirit to the Word, and
yeah.
kind of a cyclical fashion. And by God's grace, we trust that we are getting a better and better picture, yeah. of reality. So yeah. that was a little bit philosophical there. Sorry about that.
No, I enjoy these conversations.
Yeah. So I guess we kind of answered both the abstract, and then as I'm, you know, chattering here, I touched on some of the practical things. But I mean, so getting to know the Word, and like getting to know the name of God and understanding at deeper levels, the Lord Jesus Christ. So in my life, books have played a really powerful part in my journey with God and mm-hmm. in helping me to be able to draw near to Him. Mm-hmm. I love books. I yeah. love them. And I feel that I've been able to sit at the feet of great teachers of God's Word, mm. through books. And if you want to invite me back on here, we can talk about books for a couple hours, because I love, you know, right now I'm reading a man named William Perkins, and he's a guy who wrote in the 16th century, and I'm just so thankful for him. I feel like he is, I can't wait to meet him in heaven. He's been my teacher for the last 4 or 5 months. And, you know, he's just been I've been walking with him through his exposition of Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11, and just looking at the temptation of Christ. And it just so helped. So that's like something I'm reading right now. And so that's a way I draw near to the Lord, is teachers like that. I draw near to the Lord every Sunday, you know, through worshiping with other brothers and sisters in Christ. The preaching of God's word, hearing God's word is a way that I've been drawing near towards the Lord. I think memorization and then the twin discipline of meditation upon scripture is also a wonderful way to draw near to the Lord. So I'm really thankful. I think there's a few of us guys in our community group here at church that are, we're trying to start holding each other accountable to do some scripture memory, and that's been really sweet. So many ways, you know, tried and true methods of drawing near to the Lord, and there's others, you know, you know.
Which is the whole point of the series. I mean, because I just talking to different people about it, the ways that they draw near to God can be different from another person like yourself and me. And, you know, worship is a way that I really love to draw near to Him. But I think it shows a great aspect of the unique personality of God and how He made us each unique, in that He uses all of creation and means to have us draw near to Him because of the differences in who we are. And I think because we are made in His image, then we each have that aspect within us of a different personality trait of Him, and saying, like, my last guest loves to commune with Him in nature, and that's not my thing. But I mean, you even mentioned books, and I used to just kind of stay away from that aspect of like reading books, because I'm like, well, we've got the Word of God. Why would we need other books? But the thing about it is, I know that you agree with this, is that other books written by theologically sound men and women allow us to know and have a deeper understanding of God's Word, because His Spirit does reveal things to us. But people who actually go through school, you know, who actually learn like the original language and study these doctrines, I can't believe I kind of rejected that a lot in the past, but books are a great way to learn more about Him.
So Ephesians 4 says that one of the things that God has given the church is teachers, you know, and so that's just what I think the scriptures would point to, good teachers, which they may be in the room with us, or they might be having coffee with us, or they may have been dead for 400 years. But Ephesians chapter 4 says that God, or Jesus rather, has given to His church teachers to bless it, you know. And so that's, you know, that to me is the connection between God's word and, you know, and I do just affirm the priority of God's word. And so, you know, for young people who are just first getting passionate about the Lord, and what I found is the longer somebody walks with Jesus, the more likely they will be drawn towards books, you know, unless they're just naturally inclined that way. But like I've seen many people be haters of books, and then, you know, God rescues them, or they begin to mature. And I don't mean to belittle somebody if they still don't love reading books, but it has often been a road, you know, of being exposed to teachers, godly, sweet, gracious teachers, that has really helped people. And so, and it has been a big part of my story. So, anyways, I was going to say, I would just affirm the priority of God's word above other books.
Right. I think we both agree
on
that.
Amen. So, yeah, your inclination in your youth was right, you know?
Yeah.
So, but yeah.
I, wanting to go back to what you were talking about with the abstract ways and which you draw near to him.
Yeah.
I think that you knew what you were doing when you were listening to this, but you were mentioning like the Trinity and how you're drawing near to him. And for those who are listening, maybe they kind of missed that aspect of that you were, you know, the way that we can draw near is because of the Trinity's work and role.
Amen.
And knowing that, I mean, I even my introduction to this series conversation that I had was what I learned of like through Bob Coughlin's book, Worship Matters, that our worship pastor gave to me of like, we can't really draw near to him without the work that Jesus did on the cross. And we have to remind ourselves of that, but also knowing that the Spirit is in a great helper in that how we can do that.
And he's real. Like
exactly.
You know, this experience of the Spirit is a real experience.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes we can be afraid of that.
Friends, we're going to take a quick break from my conversation with Jimmy to talk to you a little bit about the product that sponsors our podcast, Splendor Magazine. Splendor Magazine is designed to share stories from our writers that aims to encourage women to know their true identity in Christ, empower them to use their gifts to glorify God, and equip them to make disciples in their field, all without worry or strife. Each person, men and women alike, were called for a specific plan to be a part of God's will to further advance His kingdom, no matter what that calling looks like in your life. This magazine is to help you on your path to finding either God's calling on your life or to help spur you on in that calling when you're facing trials. And our fall issue, which centers around the topic we're diving into of the nearness and presence of Yahweh, is still available for purchase. Special guest writer Johnny Nicole Parsons is featured and writes on what happens when emotions fade after a conference. Johnny is an author, speaker, and founder of Sunday Morning Marketing. You won't want to miss out on this issue, so go to our shop today and use code DIS15, that's DIS15, to get 15% off when you order our fall issue. Or you can purchase an annual subscription. It's already marked at 15% off the retail price, but if you use our code, you can get an additional 15% off. So don't wait. Go to splendormag.com/shop to start buying today. That's SPLENDEUR mag.com/shop. Don't forget your discount code. Now let's get back to our conversation with Jimmy. I think that we forget that when I ask these questions, which in the way that they answer, it's not a bad one in terms of how they draw near to him. They're thinking more of the concrete, like you were mentioning.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I think that we tend to forget that we can't do the concrete without the work of the Spirit, Father and Son.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. And the concrete only really matters, I think, if we're using concrete in the same way as it leads us to the abstract goal.
Right. Yeah.
You know, so like I study the Word. I read William Perkins. Mm-hmm. You know, because it helps me to know the name of God.
Yeah.
Right. It helps me to know my Father.
Right.
It helps me to treasure the blood that purchased me.
Right.
Right. And it helps me to identify the Spirit who fills me.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So, and so your friend that was on, I haven't listened. I should have. I mean to listen to the previous podcasts, especially on this series. You know, as your friend is drawing near to God through nature. You know, nature is useful in as much as it helps us to know the name of God.
Yeah.
And value the Son and identify the presence of the Spirit.
Right.
You know, and it does. And nature does do that.
Right.
Absolutely.
Well, it's a personal
Psalms
relationship
teaches us that.
As well. And to draw near to Him, as we mentioned, like it's different. And in the same way that you and I get to know each other, we do different things. Like, you know, you and your wife are going to host me tomorrow for dinner with your kids and having a conversation about youth group and stuff. And, and that's one way. And just having conversations through like about, you know, theology or whatever, or, you know, me babysitting kids, whatever it would be. That's very relational. And it allows me to know you better and how even seeing how you interact with your wife and with your kids. And I think it's the same way in how we draw near to Him through some of these concrete ways, is just that we're actually able to know Him better and appreciate the tools that he's given us because it's his creation, like nature, or the the people that he's created to write about these, write these books and things like that. So So in talking about like feelings, what you mentioned with the Holy Spirit and all of that, I think we both hear the common phrase of, I don't feel God right now, amongst our students, even amongst our own peers. And I mean, it kind of breaks my heart to hear that. And I know that I've gone through that that time period as well. But it almost, when I hear it now as an adult and getting out of that kind of, you know, it breaks my heart because I want them to know, like, God is still here for you. But I would love to know how you would respond or how you would share, like, to with someone when they say this. Like, what would you give a response?
Sure. Yeah. So, and then just assuming that it was an appropriate time and that they were open to, you know, more than sharing, right? So sometimes people are just sharing and the appropriate response is silence and prayer, right? But so there's a kind of two directions that I would respond. One would just be to ask and try to identify a little bit more about what they mean by feeling God. What do they mean by that? And they may not even know, you know, so we may need to help them, you know, to process what they mean by that word. Like, I don't feel God. You know, what do you mean? Like, do you mean you are struggling to, you know, believe that he loves you? You're struggling to feel emotions that match what you say you believe, you know, so that doesn't, there's so many things that a person could mean by, like, I don't feel God, right? And it could mean, like, I no longer feel conviction. It could mean, you know, so many things, right? I don't feel pleasure in his word, right? I read of him and I feel nothing, right? I feel no pleasure, right? I feel no awe. There's so many things they could mean, right? And so, you know, once I think I identify what a person means, then I think we can, the next question is, well, the assumption when somebody says, I don't feel God right now, the assumption is that that's not okay, right? They wouldn't, otherwise they wouldn't be saying that, right? So like if they were like, yeah, I don't feel God right now, it's okay. They probably wouldn't have actually said it. So the assumption is something's wrong. And so the danger is to think, well, you know, I'm scared there's something wrong with God, right? Or there's something irreparable that's wrong with me, maybe, or like the two fears, right? So, but once we understand what they mean by, well, I don't feel God, the next question that I want to get at with them and answer, help them answer is like, well, what does God promise in his word regarding, or command regarding feelings? Right? So it is possible that we have assumed a promise that God has not given us regarding emotional well-being, right? Or, you know, maybe like regarding mental health, maybe, you know, maybe we assume that God has promised something and then it seems like he's not keeping his promise, right? And so it's important to be like, well, let's look, you know, it's hard because you got to roll up your sleeves and maybe just do a little bit more work than maybe it's a number of conversations of just saying like, well, let's actually look at some of these promises that like you don't feel like God is keeping, right? And then the second thing I would say, and then to follow that up, typically God's promises are paired with commands. Typically. And so so one problem is could be that somebody has misunderstood or assumed a promise that was not made. And then the second problem could be that a person does not feel God because they are not obeying God in some way, right? Mm-hmm. And then sometimes somebody says, I don't feel God. And what they really mean is I don't feel God as much as I want to feel God, mm-hmm. right? So, and the conversation is similar, but it is a different situation, right? So, I don't think that Moses felt God's presence every day like he felt God's presence on the day mm-hmm. that he stood before a burning bush that did not burn. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah.
But I think that Moses was confident in God's presence every day mm-hmm. from that day forward.
Right.
That God was there.
Yeah.
You know? And I think that, feeling God can actually be really terrifying, you know? So, I'll leave it there. Do you have any follow-up questions?
No, I was just going to say, that I think when people say they don't feel God, at least in the context that I hear, that you're totally right, there are different contexts and scenarios. I think it's a lot of times that they don't feel anything at all, and they're just wanting to feel something, and they want to be able to know through a feeling that God exists or that he hasn't forgotten them. And when they don't, then their faith is a little shaky because they're like, well, I used to be able to feel like joy or used to know that with more certainty that he was real, but why is he leaving me in the lurch when I'm in a dark place right now?
God regularly, addresses fear mm-hmm. with a promise. Mm-hmm. And that's where, I think the person who's in that situation perhaps believe their faith has been built on feelings of God rather than the promises of God.
Yeah.
And that's actually really unhealthy in any relationship. So I'm married, I've been married to my wonderful wife, Kim, for 8 years. And there are moments when I have not felt love, mm-hmm. but from her or for her, but we are a part, we have made a covenant, which is an agreement, mm-hmm. a solemn oath binding agreement before God and our family. Mm-hmm. To be committed to this relationship until death do us part. And so, it's important for me not to make too much of my feeling. It's not that my feelings don't matter. It's right. it's not a great place to be, mm-hmm. If I don't feel overwhelming romantic passions mm-hmm. for this wonderful woman. But the covenant goes beyond that, the promise, she did not promise to guarantee me feelings mm-hmm. until death do us part. That actually wasn't, I guess, that wasn't part of our oaths. Mm-hmm. And interestingly enough, when we enter into covenant with God, he promises his presence, but he does not promise a particular subjective feeling and psychological experience mm-hmm. of his presence. He gives us his promise.
Yeah. Right. Well, he promises that we're suffering. We're going to suffer too.
Yes, absolutely. Yep. Yep. He promises that we will suffer. Mm-hmm. He promises that we will suffer in various ways. But he promises to use all things for the good of those who love him.
Yeah.
Romans 8:28. And he dispels fear by the promise of his presence. And I think what a person who doesn't feel God, assuming that I'm tracking with mm-hmm. what they mean by that, they have an awesome opportunity to decide whether they will trust in their feelings or whether they will trust in the Spirit who always backs up the Word of God and the promises of God. Mm-hmm. And they may, and the issue is a lot of Christians don't recognize that until we die and Christ calls our name and glorifies us, I believe that our flesh remains. And I think a lot of times people feel nothing because they actually don't the things that they are feeling is just their flesh.
Yeah,
their flesh is just so overwhelming to them that they're just really struggling to hear the still small voice of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah,
and if they could just recognize that flesh is actually their enemy, it's not them.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a huge part too. I think a lot of times every time we have feelings, we think that's me, and it's like no, that's actually sin in you.
Mm-hmm.
Many times. And the good news is I think God is really compassionate, and I do think He cares about how we feel, and so I do think that God wants us to feel peace mm-hmm. and joy,
yeah,
which I think we can feel at the same time as hurt,
right?
You know, and sadness, and anyways. So, but yeah, I think an encouragement, just to summarize, I know I just said this, but for somebody who doesn't feel God's presence, I was like, oh, you have a remarkable opportunity to be like Christ and choose to trust God regardless of what your circumstances
yes.
and your feelings are telling you. You actually have a choice to trust
yeah.
God more, and that's actually really glorifying to God.
Yeah.
And that might not be like easy or fun or what you would wish on anybody else, but if we're truly going to choose to live for His glory rather than ourselves, then I think we can find some solace
yeah.
in that. You know?
Well, and with Paul as an example, I just kept thinking of when he had the thorn in his side and that could cause many people, whether it was metaphorical or physical or whatever,
yeah.
and using that as an example of like, okay, well, I'm severely depressed right now.
Yeah.
That is just as, it's this thorn in your side. It's something that yeah. it's like the enemy is using to beat you down and all that stuff,
yeah.
or your flesh is telling you lies or whatever that case may be. But
yeah.
Paul continued to run the race. He continued to walk with the Lord, and he knew who he was. And like you said, as you draw near to him, you remember the characteristics of who God is. So if we remember in those times, like, okay, I'm feeling sad or I feel alone, what can I tell myself about God to know that He actually is still here with me, even when I feel alone?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's right. And I think, you know, the psalmist talks about so often, like, the works of God.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, it's really helpful for us to remember it. What has God done to prove that He's trustworthy in these moments when you don't feel Him?
Mm-hmm.
Or you don't feel what you want to feel, or you don't
yeah.
feel right?
Right.
What has He done? What has He done in your life? If you don't have an answer for that right now, what has he done in the scriptures, according to the scriptures, and what has He done in other Christians' lives? And if you've got nothing else, what does the cross say to you?
Mm-hmm.
You know, about the reality of God's love and
yeah.
about His trustworthiness.
Yeah.
Right. So, come what may, I can trust a God who suffered, you know, the physical and spirit, you know, physical death of a cross and the spiritual torment of hell for me. I can trust a God like that,
mm-hmm.
right? And I don't have to have every question answered,
right?
To be able to trust. If everything is stripped away and I have the cross, I've got enough.
Yeah,
I've got enough to keep walking.
Yeah,
and following this Master.
Yeah, I think the initial instinct that they may have too is to keep to themselves, to stay alone, even, you know, and I want to encourage those who listen, which I would hope a lot of our high school students would, but also anyone else that, like, I remember when I was depressed and people kind of reached out to me, but I also just stayed alone in the room, and I could not get myself out of bed. I could not enter into community. And I think that actually made things worse for me up until I got a kick in the pants from one of my best friends who was very honest with me about how I was letting Satan win. I think it's just really, really important to put yourself in community of believers. And if you don't, if you can't even think about, you know, the truths of who God is, or even open up your Bible, because I understand that feeling so well, go to people who know and can tell it for you and to remind you.
That's really good.
Yeah.
That's really good, Lydia.
Yeah, I just, I don't know. That's my heart, and wanting just people to know that, like, you're not alone ever, and just to continue to reach out. Even when you don't feel like it. So don't let Satan win.
Yeah, that's right. That's really good.
So just in terms of, like, talking about God's presence and things like that, I think that maybe one or two instances happen in a person's life where we can know without a doubt that we are in the presence of God. And so I'm curious if you have ever had any experience like that where you knew without a doubt that God was real, or that you were in his presence and because of X, Y, and Z reason.
So great. That's a great question. And I want to initially say, and this is not what you're asking, but I'll preface it this way to say that, like, by God's grace, and I don't hope this doesn't come across as proud or anything, but by God's grace, I really do walk every day with complete confidence that I'm in his presence. He has just proven himself to me. And so, but that being said, there are certain experiences that we can have where it just maybe just emotionally, or I don't know what, you know, we just maybe are shaken by something he's doing, something he's communicating, and it just maybe sticks out. And I think that's what you're asking for, is like, hey, like, what? So the first thing that came to my mind was just merely when I think I was converted, and as a going into high school and confessing my sins and being so confident of his forgiveness and of grace, my ability to have my life and my very identity molded into his son that he loved so much and that I know. And so that was a pretty powerful experience, I remember, you know, and it was emotional, you know. I remember weeping, you know, with joy, really. You know, the second experience, I would say, was interesting. I mentioned a little bit earlier in our conversation that sometimes the presence of God is actually terrifying. And so in my story, there was a point before I met my wife, when I was actually living on the mission field, and I had a night of immorality where I really walked in a manner. I committed sexual immorality with a woman, and did not walk worthy of the Lord who'd purchased me by his blood. And that's a longer story, maybe for another podcast, but that next day, like, I went into that situation and I indulged in that sin, partly because I just told myself, this will be the one mistake. Like, I won't do this ever again. You know, it's amazing what we can, just ridiculousness. We can tell ourselves and believe in the midst of temptation. You know, but that's what I told myself. I was like, well, this will be my secret, you know, and I told myself, everybody's got a secret. This will be mine. And I won't do it ever again. and that'll be that. And I mean, the day after after I committed that sin, the hand of God was so heavy on me that I was in absolute misery. I was just so thoroughly convicted. And I really felt like he just broke me down within a day. And it was within a day that I had to confess, you know, to some of the leaders in my church what I'd done. And that began a really long, painful season of my life, but a valuable season, and a season of grace too. And but I would say, like, that day, I knew that God was real.
Yeah,
I knew that God was real. And that day following my sin, I knew he was real, and I knew that I belonged to him. And I knew that I was not, he was not going to let me go without a lot of, without a painful fight that I just didn't, I wasn't thankfully able to fight with him for very long, right? Because the path of healing was with, was following in his, in, under his direction, you know, not continuing to self-deceive. But, so yeah, that would be like the second time that I was like, I knew, I knew God was real. And I, and it was just through his conviction, his hand of conviction.
Did you feel peace or freedom after you confessed your sin?
Yes. What I felt was thankful that I was so confident God was real.
Yeah.
You know, I felt like that was, I remember being like, this really stinks and this is going to be really hard, you know, so... but I remember thinking, I'll never again doubt his, I don't think I ever really doubted his existence, but like, I knew I would be certain in a way that I'd never been of his existence.
Yeah. Yeah. The only reason why I ask is because, well, I think it's interesting just different responses that we have when the Lord makes it clear that we need to confess and things like that, just because I remember being stuck in a sin for like 10 years when I was younger, and there were multiple opportunities I think that the Lord presented to me to be able to confess, but I felt so much shame that I was like, no one is gonna relate, like I'm the only one who does this basically, which is a complete lie. But it wasn't until I was in college and sitting with in a room full of other women about just things, and a woman confessed the same, well, she had shared her story and testimony of how she was set free from the same sin, and I was like, okay, that was God.
Yeah.
And once I had confessed and shared about that, like a weight was lifted off my shoulders, and I felt such joy, like joy that I had been riding off for like 2 weeks after that, that did not, I, no one could bring me down because I felt like such relief from that. And so, so I think, I mean, God is real in those moments as well. And, I think it's just important too, to remember like confession of sin ultimately brings us freedom regardless. And I think, like you said, a knowledge that God is real when we do feel the peace that we can receive from confessing that sin, unless it's brought out into the light in a way that, like, because you didn't follow his leading to open up or whatever.
Right.
But yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, the great joy of forgiveness, you know, so, forgiveness is such a wonderful treasure. But the, you know, there's different points in our lives when we have or we will do things that we're truly ashamed of. You know, we really wish we could take back. And there is such a an incredible comfort to know that we have been forgiven.
Yeah.
You know, so God does not define me by any of my sins, you know, which I'm so thankful for, you know. I mean, I didn't stop sinning 11 years ago, you know, after I have never thankfully sinned in the same way, but I sin every week, you know, with impatience and pride and occasional, you know, anger and many other things that, like, are truly destructive too, you know, but there's a great peace in knowing that there is grace for us, right?
Amen.
That, like, that God's favor, well, it doesn't leave us as we are. Our God's favor is based on the merit of Christ, and it's never been on the merit expressed by you and I.
Yeah, thank goodness for that.
Yeah.
So one last question before we wrap up. Our podcast is called Dressed in Splendor, which references the verse of Luke 12:27, as it's mentioned in the introduction of each of our episodes. So I always like to have our guests share how they can apply this verse to their lives in order for them to be dressed in grander splendor than the wildflowers of the field. So what is some advice that you would give to our listeners as it pertains to this verse?
Yeah, first advice, read the whole section around Luke 12.
Yeah.
That's my first piece of advice. I was, he says, you know, in chapter 12, verse 28, it says, but if God so clothes the grass in the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, how much more will he clothe you, you men of little faith? And so, I think that we, you know, we as human beings, we are all driven by something, and I think it can be unique to our personalities. So we can be driven for glory or intimacy or power or pleasure or some mix of all of that. But the interesting thing is that God actually wants us to have glory, intimacy, power, and pleasure. But he wants to be able to give it to us.
Yeah.
In his way, in his timing. And so my advice for someone who wants to be clothed with splendor is it's a good desire.
Mm-hmm.
And just learn to mock your idols and scoff at your idols and learn to revere your God who can give you those things. So for me personally, I as long as I can remember, I knew that I wanted my life to matter.
Right? Yeah.
So I'm driven by a pursuit of glory, and that can be vain ambition and the desire for the approval of man. Or in faith, that can be just a hunger for that day when I will stand before the Lord who bought me with his blood, and he will say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." And so, like, I'd say whatever your thing is, live for it, but live for it in faith, you know. So I don't know. A little abstract.
But. Yeah, no, thank you for sharing. If there's any place that people can find you or find the videos of when you speak on Wednesday nights for youth group, do you mind sharing that?
Yeah, sure. So probably the best way to find me is you could go to bethanycentral.org and you could look under speakers. My name is Jimmy Houck. You could find a few different lessons there. On YouTube, if you go to The Way, the Truth, and the Life and search for probably 5 or 6 pages and look for something that looks like Bethany Baptist Youth Group and a very short man with red hair on stage, that's me. That's the one. So I, in choosing our youth group channel, I should have probably been a little bit more creative than the Way, the Truth, and the Life. That's a pretty common type thing. But that's how I would find me if anybody's interested.
All of that will be in the show notes for everyone, but I just want to thank you so much for joining on the show.
Yeah, what an honor. Awesome. I love talking to you, and it's really cool to get to be a part of this and get to speak to your audience.
Well, I'm honored that you came on the show. So thank you, and thank you everyone for tuning in. We will see you next time. Thanks so much for tuning in, y'all. I really hope that this conversation blessed you in some way, shape, or form. And hearing my chat with Jimmy, I pray that this helps you to remember that the best way to draw near to Yahweh, first and foremost, is to believe and trust in the roles of the Trinity in and around your life as you apply more concrete ways of drawing near to Him. I hope that this conversation and the conversations to come may further aid you in learning how to be dressed in splendor in your everyday life, no matter what you may go through. If you want to know when our next episode will be out, follow us on social media. Find us on Instagram at Dressed in Splendor. And if you want, you can give me a follow too at The Lydia Summer on Instagram. Make sure to like this podcast and leave us a review wherever you can, not for my sake, but that the message of Christ through the powerful testimonies of His children can be shared with all in order for His glory to be magnified. If you're interested in being a sponsor, please email us at info@splendormag.com. Your sponsorship will help us continue in our mission to encourage, empower, and equip women in their walk with Christ. We thank you in advance for your support. The music of the Dress in Splendor podcast was produced by Jael Larekasi. Find him on Instagram at Sound of Pastel Kid for more of his work. That's Sound of Pastel, P-A-S-T-E-L Kid. Thank you, Jimmy, for joining us on our podcast. And lastly, thank you, dear listeners, for tuning in. May you be blessed as you continue on in your day, and may God be glorified through your work.